Vet Voice, a way to teach the next generation. Your November issue came at the best time for my freshman writing class. As a veteran myself, I believe it is important that students get to know some of the men and women who have served in the U.S. military, and in many cases, given their lives for this country. Each student selects a person to research and write about. They then develop a poster, booklet, or slide presentation to share with the other students. This year, as a way to commemorate and honor those who served, we focused on World War I. Each student selected a topic to research and write about, and two of my students actually selected Sergeant Stubby. I was able to share the picture with them for their projects, and also read parts of D.B. Ryan's letter to the entire class. V. Hampton Mitzel, Waco, Texas. The War That Didn't End. The article by Jay Winter, November, should be required reading in all history classes from high school through college. When I approached the topic of World War I in my history classes, I emphasized that we are fighting that war to this day, and it's even more apparent after World War II. The winning colonial powers carved up the spoils for their own self-interest. The Japanese and Chinese claimed Korea. We know what war that caused. The French claimed Southeast Asia. We know what war that caused. The British, French, Dutch, and others carved up Africa, and it's a mess. The British, French, Russians, and others carved up most of the Arabian Peninsula. European colonization led to the deaths of millions and sucked the United States into cleaning up messes in Iraq and Afghanistan. Jack P. Alexander, Jr., Davidson, Maryland. Born on the eve of the Second World War, I always thought the First was a blip on the historical radar. My interest in World War II, in which my father served, led to my interest in studying the wars of the 20th century. Jay Winter summarizes well the global and far-reaching effects of World War I. As a Vietnam veteran, I have often wondered how history would have changed if Ho Chi Minh had been recognized as a nationalist and not driven into the arms of the communist wave that seemed to develop in the 1920s and 1930s. James R. Cole, Inglewood, New Jersey. I am amazed at how Jay Winter was able to summarize intertwined and convoluted conflicts with intrigue of various opposing politicalisms, emperors, colonizations, ethnicities, and states across multiple continents, giving an overview of World War II, Korean and Vietnam Wars, and other conflicts post-World War I. I have been trying to make sense of the changes in geography via names of ensuing political states as they changed throughout history and why. Winter makes it simple, in condensed form. Bless him. Fred Riedinger, Cortez, Colorado. Jay Winter tries to diminish the impact of U.S. troops killed in action in World War I by measuring the number against other conflicts, stating that the numbers pale in comparison to those of either the Civil War or World War II. But he overlooks the fact that these combat deaths occurred within only 1.5 years of participation. While Winter credits the United States with a major role in the final offensive of World War I, he ignores the pivotal U.S. breakthrough at Soissons and Saint-Mihiel, the latter under U.S. command, that hastened the German retreat. It was the Americans, particularly the 9th Infantry Regiment, that drove the Germans from positions on Mont Blanc, from whose heights they had controlled the plains of Champagne for 4 years. Peter M. Sullivan, Indiana, Pennsylvania. 5 Veterans Memorials to Visit. The Veterans Memorials, featured in Lynn Mettler's article, Travel, November, certainly are worthy of a visit. However, the High Ground Veterans Memorial Park in Neillsville, Wisconsin, is also very worthy of any list of unique veterans memorials. Glenn Rusty Armstrong, Big Bend, Wisconsin. The Vietnam Veterans Plaza in New York City was built on land owned by the manufacturer's Hanover Trust Bank. I was employed at Manny Hanny beginning in May 1985. My first day of work was the day of the ticker tape parade for Vietnam vets, and my manager graciously allowed me to go off to march. Upon the memorial's completion, Manufacturers Hanover notified all bank employees who were Vietnam War veterans that the bank wanted them to attend the dedication to be honored. I remember being one of the 30 or so veterans in attendance, an honor I will always remember. This was more than 15 years after I returned from Vietnam, and was the first time I was given a welcome home. Ken Miller, Savannah, Georgia. Agent Orange Exposure. I read with interest the letter from George F. Schreeder. Vet Voice, October. I also had a bad problem with VA. Schreeder had a hard time convincing them that he had been in and out of Vietnam multiple times while on active duty because his DD-214 had no reference to his having boots on the ground. I finished my Air Force career at Clark Air Base, Philippines, working with the Intelligence Section of Military Assistance Command, MAC. My job was the work of a commissioned officer, namely Navigator, while working as an NCO. We gave briefings and debriefings of military and civilian flight crews. We also carried packets to and from the ACP, marked confidential. At the time, I had a top-secret clearance. In the 40 months I was there, I made more than 100 trips into Southeast Asia and Vietnam specifically. I applied for VA assistance because of type 2 diabetes with Agent Orange in my blood. I was turned down and reapplied multiple times over 8 years. The last time I asked for a reevaluation in Washington, D.C., I noted that it was surprising that I had to have a copy of my TDY orders just to prove that I had been doing my job. I finally received a letter from a man who remembered using our service as a young officer. On the strength of his statement, I was able to get boots-on-the-ground recognition and 20% disability. Charles R. Curtis, Benson, Arizona. Never again. Reading Ken Olson's article on the Denver VA Medical Center, October, the first mistake VA made was not agreeing to build the Twin Tower facility when Colorado University Hospital first suggested it. VA wanting to build its own tower was irresponsible, as was the decision to hire and make the prime contractor pay for the overruns. I am glad Congress took building authority away from VA and that the Army Corps of Engineers will build future hospitals. This mess never would have happened if the Corps had built it in the first place. I am angry that the person in charge was able to retire with full pay and benefits as well as a bonus. Pat Reich, Prineville, Oregon. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion Magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana 46206. Magazine at legion.org.